This is Age of Treason Radio. On the White Network.
And Daddy always smiled, took me by the hand, saying someday you'll understand. Well, I'm here to tell you now that you never mother stone. You better learn your past, you better learn young, for someday never come.
With your host, Tan Stoffel.
The title of this installment is Jews versus Whites. I mentioned in the last installment that at Steve Saylor's forum, that's the idea of Saylor's is that Jews are white. And in fact, that is seems to be the general consensus, that Jews are white. It's the popular consensus, I should say. But I'd like to review here how that's not true, and review some of the different ways that it's obvious that it's not true. But it is common, and even amongst people who claim to be race realists like Saylor, or another good example is Jared Taylor, who at one point on mainstream primetime television with Phil Donahue was asked by Donahue, how are you with the Jews? Are the Jews okay? And Taylor responded, the Jews? The Jews are fine by me. And Donahue immediately said, and so Jews can live in your neighborhood and go to your cocktail party with all those good-looking people? And Taylor said, look white to me. And that's it in a nutshell, what most people think about whiteness and about Jews is they look white. And so, therefore, they are white. But there's an old saying, appearances can be deceiving. And after that long series on Jewish crypsis and all of the different manifestations of it, I think it's clear that in this case, the appearances definitely are deceiving. Taylor, when he's put on the spot by Donahue, acts nonchalant, or is trying to act nonchalant, but you can see that he's uncomfortable about this question. Why is he uncomfortable? I think it's because both he and Donahue understand that the question, how are you with the Jews, is important. They see the significance of that question. Donahue didn't ask, how are you with the French? How are you with the Episcopalians? He said, how are you with the Jews? As if the Jews are special. And in fact, nobody's afraid or gets nervous at questions like, how are you with the French or the Episcopalians? People say whatever they please about groups like that. Donahue didn't ask, are Jews white? You could say that maybe it was implied, but it was really Taylor that volunteered that as his answer, that Jews look white. And it's ambiguous about whether he thinks that or not, or whether he's just playing to the widespread misperception. But it is a misperception. It's a misperception of Jews, and it's a misperception of race. Saying you're okay with Jews because they look white is basically saying that race is just skin color, that it's literally only skin deep, that it's something trivial. I think it was a mistake for Jared Taylor to take that attitude about it. But Jews as a group encourage that kind of trivialization of race. It helps their crypsis. It helps them pass as white. And as we saw in the very last installment, the one previous to this, there wouldn't be such a thing as Judar if it wasn't possible still to recognize Jews as distinct from other whites, even if you want to pretend that Jews are white. At the very best, they're a distinguishable subset of white. And I'm going to argue that even that's not the right way to see it. What does the assertion that Jews are white even mean? Where is it coming from? It seems to me it comes from two main places. It comes from whites who are somewhat ignorant of race and the Jews, what whiteness even is, what Jews even are, and that they do it out of ignorance, maybe out of a perception to be tolerant and not to be hateful, not to be racist. That's probably in their minds as well. And the other major source of it is Jews themselves asserting it. And not all Jews do assert it. The more Jewy Jews, the Orthodox Jews, are actually much more forthright about the fact that they don't identify in any way as white and don't see themselves as white. It's really the ones who are more ambiguous, the half-Jews, the Reform Jews, the ones who are basically trying to infiltrate white society and be seen as white by whites. They don't see themselves as white. They see themselves as Jews. Even Reform Jews do, but that's how they're distinct from the Jewier Jews, the Jews who wear their Jewishness on their sleeves. The Jewish narrative is something that I also mentioned in the last installment. I said basically all you have to do to see the Jews aren't white is listen to Jews themselves tell the story, tell their history amongst Europeans. And it's one long tale of woe, of oppression and expulsion. And they even explain their disguising themselves and their banking and their success at banking. They blame it on Europeans, that they had to do that because Europeans forced them to. On the one side, they describe Jews as the oppressed, and on the other are Europeans, whites, who are the oppressors, two distinct groups. Good guys, the Jews, and bad guys, the whites. And many whites go along with this pro-Jew point of view. One of the things that makes it clear that you're pro-white is when you don't go along with that, when you say that that long history of oppression really went the other way, that it was really Jews who were abusing whites, who were exploiting whites, who were doing something wrong. And when Jews resisted, that's what the Jews paint as oppression, any resistance to them. Now, a very minor thing, but it's one that's close to my own heart and something I engage in, and that is spelling. I noticed very early on the difference in how Jew is and Jewish and Judaism. All of those words are all capitalized, always. That's the proper English way to do it. And that white, in contrast, is always spelled with a lowercase w. And I decided I was going to invert that. I wanted to call attention to it, but also it's a simple thing to do. It's really trivial. But for something so simple, it really highlights an important point, which is that it is that double standard is normal. And if Jews and whites were equivalent, then they would both be capitalized, or they both wouldn't be capitalized. But it's the opposite. And in fact, over the years now, several people have noticed the difference and criticized me for it. It's always been people who are pro-Jewish that do it. And they always dismiss their own use of white, lowercase white, as being just the ordinary English way of doing it. that it doesn't mean anything. It's just an adjective. It's just a color. It doesn't, it's not important to capitalize it. But then on the other side, they say that the fact that I don't capitalize Jew is some sort of deliberate expression of irrational Jew hate. And I agree with them that it's important and not trivial. And I just do the opposite. Because I have more respect for whites than I do for Jews. And I think that's what it comes down to. I think the people who go along with the convention in the opposite direction don't respect whites. And if Jews are white, supposedly, well, why don't they respect white as much as they respect Jew? And at least put them on equal footing. Why doesn't a Jew who sees not capitalizing Jew as hate, why doesn't he also insist then that white be capitalized too, for the same reason, if he identifies as white? And the fact is that Jews don't identify positively as white. So they don't make a stink about it. Often the argument's made that Jews are just a type of white European, but with a different religion. But that's pretty clearly not true, because if it was just a different religion, well, then that religion wouldn't be any different than any other European religion and would be something that you could criticize. In fact, that's the norm. Christianity especially is criticized pretty mercilessly in contemporary society and in the Jewish media. But criticizing Judaism is regarded as discrimination or hate or intolerance. It's two different standards. So it's not just a different religion. Sometimes it's said something very similar, that they're just another type of white European, like the French or the Hungarians, you know, basically a different ethnic group or a different nationality. Except, of course, likewise with the criticism, you can criticize the French and the Hungarians all you want, and that's not regarded as discrimination or hate or intolerance. It's only when you criticize a Hungarian who's a Jew as a Jew that it's considered one of those things, or likewise for the French. In fact, when the Jews are in France or in Hungary, they're supposed to be French or Hungarian. And if you notice any difference at all, it's only because you are some sort of hater. You're a racist. Not entirely true. If you notice any difference and think it's a bad thing that they're not actually French, you see a distinction between the French and the Jews, or the Hungarians and the Jews, and you say that Jews have less legitimacy to be there, to be in their government, then that's considered wrong. If you say that the Jew who's in France or in Hungary is great, is wonderful, that's okay. And Jews do that all the time, of course. But it's double talk, really. It's the idea that they're Jews, and that makes them special, but then we're not supposed to distinguish. We're not supposed to see them as different. And a sort of really damning difference is in the DNA, and I could dedicate a whole installment to that, several installments maybe, and maybe will in the future. But suffice it to say that looking at the DNA of whites, Europeans, versus Jews, that the first observation is that Jews are Caucasian. They're fairly closely related to Europeans, like other people on the peripheries of Europe are. They're not as different from Europeans as, say, Africans are. And they're related genetically, but then so are chimpanzees, as Jews are very quick to remind everyone. But the reality is, too, when it comes to DNA, that they're also distinct. They're distinguishable. There is such a thing as Jewish DNA. And in fact, Jews can be distinguished down to at least one of their four grandparents. If a person has one grandparent that's a full Jew, that their DNA is still somewhat distinguishable. In fact, I've seen a graph that was based on a study that had been done, where you could see this gradation between Jews on one side of the graph and Europeans on the other, and the half Jews and quarter Jews and three quarter Jews sprinkled in between in a continuum. So suffice it to say that Jews are distinguishable just by looking at their DNA. They're also distinguishable in their thinking patterns, and I think the bulk of what I'm going to talk about in this installment and the next has to do with the difference in thinking. The most important and the most obvious is that Jews generally identify positively as Jews. That came out in that Pew poll recently that I've talked about. They're hyper aware and hyper defensive about their Jewishness, and any criticism of Jews, either generally or as individuals, immediately gets their hackles up. They're conscious of their interests as Jews, as a group, and will come to the defense of the group. They view whites as distinct from themselves. As I said, they're telling of their own history. The Jewish narrative confirms that. They see whites as a threat, either a passive threat by assimilation, by intermarriage with whites, or an active threat via genocide. And the very word genocide was coined by a Jew to describe that threat. And contrast this with whites, who, generally speaking, don't positively identify as white and aren't very conscious of and don't get very defensive about attacks on whites in general or even their own whiteness. They tend to shrug it off, because to do otherwise, of course, is to be accused of being a racist, which is very bad in society today. It's considered very bad. And, of course, when it comes to Jews, whites generally view Jews as, quote-unquote, white, you know, lowercase white, and they're willing to intermarry with them. Speaking of thinking patterns, the thought leaders in anti-racism, which is really anti-whiteism, are Jews. The prominent names that come to mind almost immediately are Susan Sontag, that Jewess who said the white race is the cancer of history. Noel Ignatieff is another one, a professor who said the key to solving the social problems of our age is to abolish the white race. And of course, Tim Wise, who wrote a book called White Like Me, actually playing on this confusion that whites have, mistaking Jews as white, and makes his living, literally, by inciting hatred of whites, and at the same time, defending Jews. He doesn't make his living defending Jews, but he does make his living attacking whites. This difference in thinking is reflected and is visible in politics and in voting patterns. There's a famous saying you may have heard. It was Milton Himmelfarb, a Jew who was he worked for four decades at the American Jewish Committee, and he said, Jews earn like Episcopalians and vote like Puerto Ricans, describing something that was pretty obvious to people. He tried to it's basically acknowledging the difference with whites. And he tried to obscure the difference by making a comparison between Jews and Episcopalians. He could have just as well said Jews earn like whites. In fact, they earn better than whites and vote like Puerto Ricans. They vote like non-whites, to sum it up. Looking at the numbers from the most recent two presidential elections in 2008 and 2012, I found two different articles and with two very different attitudes, one about the Jewish vote and comparing the numbers for 2008 for Obama. Jews were something like between 74 and 78% for Obama, 22% to 26% for McCain. And then in 2012, they were 70% for Obama and 30% for Romney. So Jews overwhelmingly vote Democrat ordinarily, but in this case, for the black man, it didn't change, really. Another article, different article, talking about white voting patterns, was responding to the general consensus in the Jews media that there was a problem with the white vote, that whites are racist because they don't want to vote for the black candidate. And the numbers there in 2008 were 43% for Obama with white voters and 57% for McCain. So less lopsided politically than the Jewish vote. In 2012, it was similar, 39% for Obama and 61% for Romney. Again, this is regarded as a problem. This particular article that I'll cite dismisses the problem, says it's not really a problem. It's actually just the same old pattern, and they trace back to 1972, the Republican versus Democrat voting patterns of whites. What they see, though, and what they show is actually a pretty alarming graph that they say tells the story of how voting has gone since 1972. It shows the Democrat votes becoming more and more non-white, that the percentage of the votes for Democrats just ramping up consistently to in non-white and ramping down in white votes. The Democrats are losing white votes. That's not considered a problem, by the way, that the Democrats are losing white votes. What's considered problematic is they look at the Republican graph, and that's consistently white votes from between 95% in 1972, and even today it's still 90% of the votes for the Republicans come from whites. And the non-white vote is consistently 5% or less across that same period of time. That's considered the problem. A problem for who? Problem for whites is the implication that whites shouldn't be voting like that. And I've referred before to Harold Meyerson, who as far back as 2008 was saying essentially that the Republican Party is too white, looking at the people simply by eye, looking at the people at the convention, the 2008 convention, said that – he didn't exactly say that it was too white. He said – their whiteness is a huge problem. And in fact, this phrase, too white and whiteness is a problem, or whites are a problem, they're often used together. They're almost interchangeable. The one seems to imply the other. Too white means it's a problem that it's too white. I've talked about this before. I've written about it before. I did a whole podcast titled Anti-White Problems. Just in a nutshell, it was ballet is too white, according to one Jewess. The Vienna Philharmonic is too white, according to some Jew critic. Iowa is too white, according to a bunch of Jews in media. And I mentioned the Harold Meyerson thing, that the Republican Party is too white. And there was a more recent 2012 election comment from Debbie Wasserman Schultz, a Jewess who's in charge of the Democratic National Committee, saying that the Republican Party is too white and saying that it's a problem. All of these people, or most of them, mentioned that it was a problem. I also cited in that same podcast a blog post I had made about it titled Sagan and O'Hare's Big Damning White Problems, where one of them talks about Google Glasswares being too white. The people buying Google Glass or using it are too white, and Hollywood being too white. And that second one is especially telling in that O'Hare, when he talked about Hollywood being too white, he actually acknowledged that a large number of that supposed whiteness is actually Jews. And as opposed to the problem that he called Hollywood being too white, he said that anyone who was wondering even how Jewish Hollywood was, that the mere wondering about it would be offensive and irrelevant and, quote, information that ugly people would use for ugly reasons, unquote. The most recent news is about Twitter. Twitter's going public soon, and there's been some controversy about how many white people are on the board. Nicholas Kristof in the New York Times on the 23rd of this month mentioned that they were going public and said that it was a stale old thinking reflected in a board of seven white men. And he's actually just echoing other people who are saying similar things about the whiteness being some sort of a problem. The company is, the leadership of the company is too white. He actually, similar to O'Hare, points out that he says, I also realize that I live in a glass house because my world of punditry is a cacophony of mostly white male voices. Gender imbalance isn't just a Twitter problem, but a global challenge across many sectors. Well, there he's showing why Jews pretend to be white. In this case, it's valuable to, instead of saying that the media, the cacophony of mostly Jewish voices in the media is Jews, instead, he says it's white and basically passes the blame off onto white people for what Jews are doing. I call it the Jews media for a reason, because it's owned by Jews, it's edited by Jews, and even amongst the people who aren't Jews that are given that soapbox to voice their opinion in the Jews media, it's only the people who actually parrot Jewish opinion on all the things that are important to Jews. Issues having to do with race, immigration, nationalism, and the special deference that Israel and Jews get in the Jews media. If they don't go along with that, if they violate it in any way, they're looking for a job somewhere else. They can't work in the Jews media anymore. Another link is actually a video that was on Yahoo, Apple, Twitter, and Tech, middle-aged white guy problem. It's pretty much the same story. It's partly Twitter, but the woman who introduces the story says that she watched the Apple keynote speech or presentation this week and couldn't help but notice that it was a parade of middle-aged white guys who came on stage. And then she turned to her expert that she had there to comment on it. And who is it? It's a Jew who says that, yes, this is a big problem and it needs to change. It needs to change faster than it's changing. That's Aaron Pressman, for the record, who said that. This is a guy who twittered once that he was Jewish, and when he was growing up, it's ambiguous about who said this, but he says, never buy a Ford or VW. I guess because of Henry Ford's work on the International Jew and VW being a German company. The language is important, and minority versus majority is another example. The idea being that a minority is powerless and the majority has power. It's also used to play down Jewish power by they're portrayed as a minority, again, distinct from the majority, which is white. I'll have to talk about this the next time and finish up that thought and some more thoughts on the difference between Jews and whites. It's double standards, hypocrisy, sure, but Jews are impervious to guilt tripping, unlike whites. It's just another difference between us. They're distinct from whites. And there's many ways.